Góðan daginn. You're listening to the Reykjavík Grapevine.
Iceland's foremost English publication on Icelandic news, culture, travel and more.
Welcome to COVIDcast, episode 12. My name is Valur Grettisson, I'm an editor-in-chief at Reykjavík Grapevine. With me is Sam O'Donnell, a writer for Reykjavík Grapevine. Hey, Sam.
Hi, how's it going? My couch is like popping in and out of the background. It's
you can take out the background if you want to. Today, we're going to go over, of course, the numbers for the COVID-19 confirmed and how many are in quarantine and stuff like this. A four-month-old child got infected. And also, it is expected that unemployment will go as high as 12 to 13%, which is a new record in Iceland, actually. And then we're going to go a little bit over the status of things in the U.S. And you come there as a specialist, being from America, but living in Iceland, of course. So, welcome to COVIDcast, episode 100. The numbers are going down. We have done like the 3 days we have gone down in numbers. The newest number that we have is from yesterday. The newest number will come at 1 o'clock of the day in Icelandic time. We had 49 people yesterday, which is good because they have gone from like 90 per day, slowly now down to 49. So it's a sign of hope, actually. There's a dark side of it. 30 people are now at hospital, not all in critical health, of course, they're just at hospital, but 10 of them are at, they need help, like are in critical like situation. All in all, there are almost 9,000 in quarantine right now, and 960 are like isolating. And 6,200 have finished quarantine. This is quite the number. And they have been taking samples from almost 18,000 people, which is quite the feat, to be honest. It's like, I don't know, it's like 4 or 5% of the nation, which is pretty much. And this is, of course, because of Decode. But they are Decode right now. Decode Genetics have been testing like aggressively with the health directorate. But they haven't found that many new cases. And almost half of the people that are discovered with the virus are in quarantine or in like isolation already. So the thing is, the gathering ban, we're on like on third week in the gathering ban, it appears to be working. I mean, 3 weeks later, the numbers are actually going down. This means that the health directory have said that they want to lift some of the restrictions, but they have to do it very slowly, and it will be like the first one will be it will be in the next week or the week after. Also, there was a meeting yesterday, like a daily press conference, and they said that they warned Icelanders not to travel around Easter, like. Because it's funny, because there are no tourists right now in Iceland, of course. And absolutely, it's just the streets are empty. It means that the Icelanders are actually taking up to go to see Gullfoss and Geysir and these famous touristic spots because they are absolutely empty. So the health directory and like the team that is like overseeing this, they say they are warning that say like do not do this because of it could flare up again, which is definitely interesting. Also, and shockingly, a four-month-old child, a boy, was committed to a hospital in the end of March after he got the COVID-19. It's not clear how the boy got it, got infected, but the mother, she did not have the virus, and she is breastfeeding the kid, So it's interesting that she did not get it. They didn't mention the father if he was had it. I guess they are testing it or however it is going now. But this is like late reporting yet for last night. Yeah. The child is getting back like on his feet, like he is getting the health is coming back. It's not in a bad shape. So it's getting better. And then to the economy, unemployment. You know this, Sam. I mean, there is like no unemployment in Iceland most of the time. We're like, it's like yeah. both. We are very few. How do you remember? There are very few. Yeah, the kid there. There are always very few. Like historically, the unemployment rate in Iceland has been very low. Always. When the financial system crashed in one night in 2008, we went up to 9% unemployment. Well, like 7% with women and 9% with men. But it was like, but we're talking about now, it could go up to 12 to 13%. But the, like with part-time jobs, we're talking about like around 20%. Which, like, if it goes as bad as it could go, this means that the benefit, like the unemployment benefit, will go up to like 60 billion Icelandic krona for the next month. That's like 400 million euros. So it could be quite the high cost for that. So not much else have changed. We are still in the gathering plan, of course. It's 3 weeks now, and it's taking its toll mentally and for everyone. Kids are in school every other day. They're still going to school, though. A lot of homeschooling, a lot of frustration, I guess. I don't know. You don't have kids, do you, Sam?
No, I don't. What? My in-laws do, but I haven't heard much from them. We're keeping our distance from everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But how is it? Have you been reading the news in the U.S. lately?
Yeah, it's a little bit different in some ways, but in other ways, it's kind of the same story.
It's happening incredibly quickly. It's like we're seeing them going from like almost like 3,000 cases up to 188,000 in like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah, in my home state, the rate of infection is they've only tested about just over 1,000 people. And
what is your home state?
North Dakota. Mm-hmm. So they've only tested just over 1,000 people in North Dakota, and of those. That they've tested, roughly 120 tests have come back positive.
Yeah.
But the officials suspect that the number could be 10 times what that is, just because they don't have enough, you know, materials to do the testing.
And they're still having trouble with tests in some places in the US, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the crux of the problem, I think, is the healthcare system, which is not designed to, you know, there's no free healthcare. If you want healthcare, you have to pay for it, and it's going to be expensive. So people like just can't afford to go get tested, and there's not like it's very strongly advised, to my understanding, that you should stay home, and it's socially enforced, but it's not by any means enforced by the government, except in a few states, and I don't think North Dakota is one of them. I could be wrong. But so most people are staying inside. Most people are good about that. But there are some people who are like, "Well, this can't touch me. I'm too young or whatever."
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. they still go out and they still go to the bar and they have some fun with their friends or whatever. And it just winds up risking more lives, more infection, which is terrible.
And it feels like this gathering ban, which is like in Iceland, it's not enforced by the police. It's just like you have to show some common sense when it comes to this. And everybody is participating in it, of course, but we are so few, it's perhaps easier for us to do it. But it feels like the numbers are going down now, and you see the result obviously later. I mean, it's like when you've been doing this for 3 weeks, then we see like now 3 days in a row numbers going down. So it takes time, obviously, but everybody has to be very awake about it, I guess. So, like, if you think about it, like, if this is, would be used as a tool, like in the US, and everybody would go with it, then you would basically have to do it like in 3 weeks from now. Then you would see the numbers go down. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. You would think so.
But, I think so, yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of variables. Like, you know, you can't force people to obey the quarantine. Mm-hmm. You know, most people probably will, but there are some people out there who are just, you know, not that smart, who, mm-hmm. For whatever reason, decide that they don't want to limit the spread of this disease.
I mean, it's all about the crowd control in the end, kind of, and like for people to understand the gravity of things. So it's like, do you feel like, I mean, people are obviously in northern states are understanding the gravity of things, mm-hmm. but what do you, other states in America, like the southern states, like it's not quite there yet, but it obviously will go there. I mean, the virus is just, it just spreads wherever it goes, and it goes everywhere. So do you feel like that in those states, they are like, they're aware of it? Or do they feel like it's a problem in the north or something like that? Or?
See, I don't know for sure. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of friends or family who live in the south. Mm-hmm. And so I really haven't heard too much about it. But I think that they're taking it just as seriously, you know, in the southern states as they are in the northern states. Like Virginia, didn't they impose some sort of
stay at home, injunction or whatever, like stay at home ban or something like
that. So if anything, they may be taking it even more seriously than mm-hmm. Those of us in the northern states. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of there's this conception that, you know, being rural means that you're less likely to be infected because it just doesn't come there. And I mean, I feel like that's not that's a false presumption.
Yeah. When you look at the state of things in New York, what do you feel about this? I mean, do you think they are they are too late? I mean, is it like, they are now like just following the epidemic somehow? They're not preventing it? Or do you feel like they have any do they have any control of the situation, or are they just like preparing for the worst, you know?
I think what they're doing now is good. That, you know, the measures that they're finally taking are good. I do think it's probably too little too late. And it's definitely going to get worse before it gets better, but at least they're doing something now. Mm-hmm.
They are talking about that there could be 100 to 200,000 people that will die in this epidemic.
I've heard that. That's
200,000 is not only a staggering number, but it's the same number as died of American people that died in the World War II.
Yeah.
World War II. Which is like, if you think about it like this, it's incredible, actually. So, do people like understand this, like these connections, like how like huge and the grave thing of it?
Yeah, among my friends, they do. I all over my Facebook, it's people are posting news stories about how serious this is and how people should take this seriously. And there are only, you know, maybe one or two outliers in the comments who don't take it seriously. But for the most part, people are very, very, they're reading these numbers and it's sobering, and it's something that they do take very seriously. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think it's, do you want to add something to it?
The difference is, I think that the government is not taking it as seriously as I think they should. The Trump administration is notorious for pushing things under the rug and not taking things seriously until it's absolutely too late. I think Donald Trump has finally realized that, you know, things are getting worse. They're not mm-hmm. as bad as they're going to get yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he realizes that taking action now, it's not going to keep things from getting worse. Things are going to get worse until they get better, like I said before. And as of this moment, the United States is slated to the expert forecasts say that 47 million people could become unemployed. And so that's a 32% unemployment rate,
which
is absolutely unprecedented in the United States.
Like the same here. It's like everything is actually funny to do the math when it comes to like statistically, like with America and Iceland. We have like 350,000 here, and you have like 330 million, of course, in the US. It's always like 100 times folds, basically. So it's like in the worst case scenario, we're seeing like 20% unemployment, which is like insane number for us. And I guess it's like the same for America. It would probably be the same for the UK and other countries. So it's like the economy of it is everybody's getting the same punch in the gut, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely sobering.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to say that please remember our High Five Club, because talking about the economy, everybody's struggling right now, and we're definitely struggling as well, getting good help from the government, but we need more just to get through these months and deliver some journalism to you, mostly in our magazine. We just released a web issue, special web issue for our High Five Club members that you can get on our homepage, grapevine.is, if you subscribe. So, and another one will be out on Friday. So we're basically working our ass off here, like in every corner. And also remember our, we have a shop online also at grapevine.is. You can find t-shirts and stuff like this if you want to spend money that you can't spend like in the gathering pen. So and also we'll be here hopefully tomorrow. We will keep you informed, and also visit our homepage, grapevine.is. You can find all of this news and the stories and the latest updates there. Thanks Sam for being with me, and
Yeah.
Goodbye and see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye now.